It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
This is Moses Moody, and you are listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I tell you what, you want to talk about somebody elusive. Moses Moody. He was supposed to join us yesterday. I don't know what happened. He actually was probably doing his job, practicing basketball. But we've been told that he'll join us between now and 1 o'clock.
I give the 216 a 4 for this one. The Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorney's text line. Moses was chilling the Ten Commandments. Where the heck is he? Look, Moses is... He's working. He's working... You know what he needs to be working on, to be honest? When was the last time he hit the first shot he took in a game? I don't know how you do that or make sure that it happens.
You get a dunk.
Well, that's a good... Or get to the free throw line. He made the last two, though. And that's what really mattered. Like, seriously, that did save his game. I was worried about him.
If the Warriors had lost 96-95, we'd be talking about they have no third scorer. I'll just let it there because then the calls would have come about, well, I know a third scorer.
Did that three that he made in the corner remind you at all of some of his prior misses earlier this year? Like, the first thing I thought of when he took that shot was Dallas. Remember that three he missed to put him up? I think it was a tie game. It was a shot they needed late in the first game they lost with Jimmy Butler, close to the All-Star break. Kyrie had like 40, but Moses had an opportunity with like 90 seconds left, or maybe it was a minute left, to put him up three, and he missed the shot, then ended up losing by a basket. And the first thing I thought of was, whew, like he's grown up since he missed that shot. And in fact, the reason why he might have made that shot is because he missed the big one early in the regular season.
Well, interestingly, I thought, remembering the shot from the corner, I felt like he was up against the shot clock a little bit. But now I'm looking at the play-by-play. Van Vliet, he made one of his four shots with 2:38 left. And Moody hit his three with 2:23. So that's 15 seconds, which means at least nine was on the shot clock and probably more because the clock doesn't stop after makes until 2 minutes are remaining in the game. And now a lot of teams are rolling the ball up. So there's a discrepancy between the game clock and the shot clock. But in any event, he hit it. He also hit a big fadeaway. Okay.
You all right?
Well, I need an explanation. So, apparently...
I'm shocked, by the way. You didn't know this.
I can't believe I didn't know it. In fact...
You've been clinging to it.
I've been wrong once today.
3 months.
And 3 months? How about 15 years? So, the Denver Nuggets were playing their second home game, and they had the towels over the seats. Some people have the hankies, some people have the t-shirts. And the towel said, "We believe." And Draymond Green and Baron Davis, who was on the We Believe team, did a podcast after game one. And go ahead, Evan, and read the Baron Davis quote about Denver using We Believe.
So I was with him when I first read this. I thought that's BS. You can't do that. So Baron Davis went off, quote, "I mean, that's just so original. So original and unoriginal," Davis sarcastically said on Monday's edition of the Draymond Green Show podcast. Quote, "Man, come on, Denver, call me. I'll give you a slogan. This ain't going to work. Somebody should be fired. This don't work in Denver. You got to come up with something for Denver. You got to come up with something for Denver. Different."
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Then we believe.
Because we all know in 2007, the Warriors won 16 of their last 21 games, found themselves playing the Dallas Mavericks, and they upset the Dallas Mavericks. And the last 10 games of the season, we believe, became a mantra. Oh, but it became so much more, Evan.
You're right.
It became a symbol of what could be. It became a symbol of that the Warriors were no longer chumps.
And you'd know this better than just about anyone.
Now, this is the part that has shocked me, because even I, who has one interest in his life, the Warriors, I didn't even know this. I did not know this, and I'm still, I need confirmation from perhaps the state capitol. But go ahead.
Not the nation's capital,
no.
But the state
no.
capital of Sacramento. So, evidently, the We Believe slogan, which was adopted, it was during the playoff push too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Regular season.
Last 10 games of the year, they went 9-1, yes.
Obviously, into their first round upset of the Mavericks, and then their second round loss. Apparently.
What an original.
In the 2004-2005 season for the Sacramento Kings, which, by the way, was the last time they made the playoffs, I think, or one of the last times they made the playoffs up until they recently lost to the Warriors. In the 2004-2005 playoff marketing campaign, the Sacramento Kings used the slogan, "We Believe." "We Believe" then became the Warriors' slogan for the last 2 months of the 2006-2007 season. The reason it is not widely accepted or referenced is because that playoff marketing campaign was short-lived after the Sacramento Kings were beaten in 5 games by the Seattle Supersonics in the first round. So, what we found out today, and what Baron Davis is about to find out, is that what the Warriors did in 2007 was unoriginal.
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I refuse. This is one of those things where, remember when you, let's say you had a crush on somebody in high school.
A lot of them.
And like a lot of them, you found out, I'll just use a girl. You found out the girl liked somebody else.
Also happened a lot.
I always just said, I'm going to choose not to believe that. I'm going to choose just not to. No, she didn't. She did not. Oh. She does not like Barry. Dude, they were together at the football game. No, I'm choosing not to believe it. So I'm going to choose not to believe that.
Well, what it means is We Believe is on the table. Like, anybody can use We Believe, because while it is one of the more, I think it's most widely associated with the Warriors, and deservedly so, because they did something historic at the time with it. They stole it. Stani, they stole it from the Kings of all franchises, the Sacramento Kings.
All right, two things. And now I got to see if I can get this right. Okay. So the
God, I hate research.
But yes, the Warriors adopted We Believe. But the story goes, there was a season ticket holder, Paul Wong. And with 10 games left in the year, he came to the arena with a big sign that said, We Believe. So he actually got credit for We Believe. And if I remember the story correctly, the Warriors, you know, offered, you know, the Warriors just picked it up and then they used it on shirts, et cetera, et cetera. And, but it was credited to a fan, a season ticket holder, Paul Wong. Now, I don't remember anybody at the time saying that Wong plagiarized. So that's why I'm going to choose not to believe it. And here's the other reason I don't believe it.
Okay.
How come nobody in Sacramento took exception to it?
Well, they didn't really have a right. They missed the playoffs for about 16 years.
But it's the thought that counts.
Okay.
And the Warriors, that changes the course of history.
Well, while a lot of people, again, it's, I'm sure someone has said we believe it's some of the, but the idea of making a playoff marketing campaign around it, that is attributed to the Warriors. And what I found out, I wasn't even trying to discover this, by the way. This was not my intention to ruin your former work, which I'm actually surprised you didn't know about considering you were the sideline reporter for the team. But when I'm going through these different stories of teams that have used the moniker We Believe, the first marketing campaign in the NBA was built around the Sacramento Kings. In fact, very closely to when the Warriors built their own, which is, take it for what you will, just kind of a coincidence.
San Jose Jazz fan on the YouTube chat brings up, and he's right, Tug McGraw. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Former relief pitcher for the Mets and the Phillies. He said, you gotta believe, in 1973. And then there were versions that came out of that. Speaking of which, and I had this written down yesterday, and I didn't use it, but count me out on this one. I didn't like it, but I see somebody like, what'd you think of the t-shirts they're wearing now?
The Warriors?
Yeah. You know what it...
You mean the yellow ones that they had on Tuesday?
Yeah. You know what it says?
What does it say? Tell me.
You really want me to tell you? Because I think this is a swing and a miss.
Well, I like that they tried to, as closely as possible, kind of recreate a, you know, an Oracle type feel.
Win one.
For the Gipper?
The Bay.
Oh.
First of all, you got four. That's a little selfish to want another one.
Win one for the Bay?
Win one for the Bay.
What'd they do in 22? Wait, that one was gold-blooded, right? That was their...
Or strength in numbers, maybe?
They have all these different playoff marketing slogans.
You know, sometimes I like to... Let me get this out of the way, because sometimes I like to educate some people. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. You know, one of the things I try to do, and I think it makes life better.
There's no hate in this. I'm just...
That's what I'm getting at.
There's nothing...
You two love to hate on the Warriors and will find anything to bring them down. Oh, my.
It's not our fault.
Read the room, 925. We're having fun. Oh. Just like when I was wrong about Steph Curry sitting out the whole first half.
There's a different word we got to find for that.
And I said, good, you know, let me have it. Let me have it. I get it.
I really do not want to believe that that's true. I really do.
The other thing is...
That ruins my childhood.
Well, first of all, how many games Were they seven-game series back in the day? Did they lose to the Sonics in
back
seven?
Back in the day, it was like 2 years before the Warriors did it. It was 05.
Right. But I just want to make sure it was a seven-game series.
Oh, I know they lost in five. Let me double-check that.
Because think about that for a minute. If they lost in five, that means they put We Believe Hankies on 2 days. That's it.
It was best of seven.
Okay.
It was best of seven.
Okay. But it was done in five?
Yeah, Supersonics beat them in five. They upset Kings won 50 games that year and lost.
All right, so who had home court?
The Supersonics did. The Kings were 50 wins. Seattle won 52 games.
My point is my understanding of the rule about stealing slogans is you have to have at least three home games for the slogan to take effect. In other words, they came back to Sacramento and everybody found some We Believe stuff for the next two games and then they were done. It was over.
It was a gentleman's sweep.
3-0.
Essentially.
So we don't even know if game four they used them.
No, because Ray Allen wiped as you know what with those We Believe things. But I don't think they put them on towels, though. It was just a marketing campaign that they put together a couple years prior.
Yeah. Anyway, that rocked me a little bit.
We believe it will be two decades before we make the playoffs again.
That's two things today that have caught me by surprise. Yes, sir. All right, game two tomorrow. Coming up in the next hour, Warriors swing man, Moses Moody. Might have had the two biggest shots in Sunday's win. He'll be joining us after practice. This time it's for real. The morning show had Anthony Slater on, and he was talking about this series, and he was asked about who Kerr's going to use the rest of the playoffs. Take a listen.
The other thing I think if we take two steps back and view this playoff run and who Steve Kerr is and who he trusts over the course of his career and who he's going to like ride to the finish line with, it's his veterans, right? This is all about trying to maximize and, you know, whatever, the meaningful basketball thing with Steph Curry and Draymond Green. I just think if you just tell him Trace Jackson Davis or Kevon Looney in a big playoff game in Houston, like, we all kind of know what box he's going to check there, right? You know, he's going to think about what Kevon Looney did for him in the four previous playoff runs prior and stuff like that. So he's a veteran type coach, Steve Kerr. It's not that he won't play young guys. Clearly he's playing young guys right now, but it's just like he's going to trust Kevon Looney in these type of scenarios.
Yeah, I agree. There's not a lot new about what Kuminga's doing. I think he, you know, Pods has to play. I think he has to play. How come? Well, he's one of the best two or three guards on the team. Guards, period. Moody, he's got to play. How come? Well, because after Peyton and Moody, those guys, like Gary Payton can't play 40 minutes a game. So Moody's going to get some playing time. Unfortunately, other players, Trace Jackson Davis, for example, finds himself the odd man out. How come? Well, because Kevon Looney is a veteran and they like what they found in Quentin Post in terms of the spacing. And the same goes for JK. Jimmy Butler, he's going to go to Jimmy Butler. He's going to go to Jimmy Butler a lot. He's going to go to Jimmy Butler at least 40 minutes a night if the game is, if the game is competitive. But I think, you know, Slater's right. This is not new. Steve Kerr has always relied on the veterans since they won that first title.
Or players that he trusts. I mean, it can be young. Like, Pods is 22 years old. He's never played in a postseason series before. He played 35 minutes in game one. You know, I think Moody probably only played 28 because he hadn't had that great of a game. But if you're looking for an example of him actually trusting a young player over a veteran player, he subbed GP2 out with 7 minutes left. I was actually shocked that he went back to Moody to eventually close this game. And it turned out to be the correct choice because Moses hit two very important shots. But GP2 had just had a couple of leak outs. He made back-to-back baskets. He's someone that Kerr trusts. And He played 16 minutes. Like, Kerr actually probably bucked what people expected him to do in that situation. So, you know, I wouldn't just whittle it down to, well, he trusts veterans. It's like, no, he has guys that he believes in. And I think Moses Moody, despite him being 22, 23 years of age, or Pods being 22, he trusts those guys. And he trusts Quentin Post, who is a rookie and played his very first postseason game. So, and I honestly only expect his faith to grow in those three individuals.
You know, there's another aspect to this I was thinking about. And you say he trusts Post, okay? Let's say he trusts Post.
Well, more than other guys.
But let's just put it this way. And this is the other advantage.
More than Looney.
Yes, but this is the other advantage that Pajemski and Moody have over Kuminga. And it's and Post. When Post comes into the game, all right? He's a role player. He's got a role. He's stretching the floor. He's shooting threes. And he's trying to defend on the interior. Pajemski, he's got a role. He's a role player. When he plays with Curry and Draymond Green and Butler, he's a role player. Moses Moody, I get he's a starter. But on this team, he's a role player. So when you put Moody and Post and Pods into a game, and I get it, Pods is important, but just for the sake of this argument, bear with me. It's like, if you're playing with Steph, Draymond, and Butler, guess what? You're a role player. You're a role player if you're in that lineup. And the challenge that Kuminga has is that when he plays, he's got to be more than a role player. Like, you have to, he wants to be used as a second or third option. He has to be somewhat of a focal point of the offense. And that's, I think, Steve Kerr thinking that's a bridge too far. Like, it's one thing to play young guys if they're a role player, but Jonathan's role on this team has always been more than that. It's been as a, you know, kind of a big time scorer, a guy who can score. And then that risk is just a little bit too high. That risk is a little too high. That's the way I look at it. Or that's the way I think Steve Kerr looks at it. I should put it that way. All right, we're efforting Moses Moody. And we'll probably go to 26 now because I see Lucas doing his thing. But Moses Moody is going to join us momentarily. He is down in Houston. They just finished practice. The Warriors are getting ready for game two tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, they win that game. They're in really good shape, obviously. A split, and it ensures that the Warriors will head back to Houston at some point. All right, we got him. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Moses Moody joining us on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Moses? How you doing, man?
All good. Hey, what's going on?
We're all just back in the Bay. Watch Sunday's game. Everybody's real excited. And let me ask you this to start. Now, I know you've played in the postseason before, but this is the biggest role you've had in the postseason. How much different? They always talk about the playoffs being different. How much different was the game on Sunday against the Rockets than the five regular season games against the Rockets? Or do you think that's overblown?
The playoffs is definitely different than the regular season. Just the fan engagement, the pressure on the game, the preparation for the game. It's a lot more that goes into it. So, but that's my favorite thing about it, you know, because a lot of times a high stress situation bring the best out of you, bring the most out of you. So that's one of my favorite parts about it. But just the situation that we've been in for the last month as a team, trying to get wins, make the playoffs, and get the positioning that we want. It felt like we've been in the playoffs for a while now.
Right.
Moses, take me through this stretch of the game. So you come in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes and 49 seconds left. You come in for GP2, and the game is still within the balance. Houston has made their run after you guys build that large lead, but you hit two very important shots down the stretch of that game. The fading 14-footer, the corner and the three. when you're getting ready to check in for what is, you know, your final stretch of the game, the Warriors, your team's final push, what's your mentality? And just take us through kind of what it was like to be able to go through that and make those huge shots.
It's just basketball at the end of the day, you know, as high pressure as we make it, it's important as it seems. It's just basketball. I've hit that shot 1,000 times before working on it. So just checking in and doing what I do. But then at the end of the game, too, it's a good part because you can rest after the buzzer goes off. So it's like a full sprint. No need to conserve any energy. Every rebound, every loose ball, every possession, you can max out your effort.
I can't remember exactly when you came out of the game before you went back in, but I'm curious to know, did you know you were going to go back in that game, or is it something where you're sitting on the bench, you're ready, and Steve goes, Moses, go get in there?
You know, the rotations are set before the game, but, you know, you never really know 100% anything out there on the court, so you just got to be prepared for anything. But, yeah, I thought I was, so, but you're never sure.
I mean, there are games you finished, there are some you haven't. I mean, do you just assume going into every game that you got to be ready to finish? I would assume that's just basic.
Yeah, that's my mindset, just so I can be ready to play every time. I never caught off guard.
Yeah. No, Moses, one thing unique kind of about this matchup is you guys played each other very closely to the end of the regular season, and obviously a couple Sundays ago didn't go your way. Game one of this series did. Did you guys learn anything or take anything away from that last time you saw Houston? I know it was amidst a really condensed stretch of basketball for you, but did you take anything away from that game? The first time you played them with Jimmy and now into the playoffs, that you think helped maybe give you guys an edge in game one?
Yeah, well, we actually played them in Houston with Jimmy right after the trade. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We got that one. But yeah, you know, they play hard, they play aggressive, just not being caught off guard by their intensity and how they crash the board. So being ready to fight back and be ready for a dogfight.
Moses Moody joining us on 95.7 The Game. Warriors play the Houston Rockets game two tomorrow. Let me ask you this. I always like to know if some of the stuff that we think is actually what's happening. And it feels to me like your defense over the course of the season has taken a step up. It feels like you are a better defender now than you were 2, 3, 4 months ago. Would you agree with that? And if so, what's been the difference for you to take that to the next level?
Yeah, I would agree with it. I think just technique has been a big difference. I realized that a lot of times, like my stance would be too wide, so it's harder to move laterally that way, rather with a more narrow stance, and you can push off in each direction. So that's been a really big difference for me. And then getting into the ball and taking away the offense's rhythm, so they can't dance into what they want to get into. You can dictate what they do.
So there's a way you can actually improve your lateral quickness by your stance, defensive stance.
Yeah, that's it. Just been more narrow stance and too wide, because if your feet are too wide, then you don't have any room to step. But with a narrow stance, you can move laterally better, and I think that was a big difference for me.
Interesting.
Is that something that you found individually, or is that something you've worked on with Jerry Stackhouse, who we know is, as an assistant coach now, sort of been able to help you guys defensively? Who I guess, sort of initiated that, where you've been able to make that step?
Yeah, Steph. Stack did talk about it. He said it a couple of times, but also the training staff within Anthony D'Armiento, Kyle, Rick, like that. It's stuff that they've been saying for a while, but just didn't click, and I didn't understand what they meant. So once I understood it, I was able to apply it. It was the difference, I think.
Moses Moody joining us on 95.7 The Game. When you guys got Jimmy Butler, obviously everything changed. What did you have to make any singular adjustments to his game? I mean, I know the team as a whole incorporated him in extremely well. Did your game change a hair or more when he got here? Did you maybe get a little more introspective about how he was going to work with you? Did it change your, maybe not approach, but the way you played?
Definitely. I think that was the case for everybody. You know, we had that he's a big presence on both sides of the ball. So you kind of just got to shape around that and see the best way that the offense flows with that with him on the floor. I definitely think he caused changes.
When you're looking at what happened in game one, obviously you guys got the win. We're talking about, you know, adjustments here on this show and things that teams can do to try and get game two. I'm not asking you to reveal the game plan or kind of go through what you guys have been discussing internally, but, you know, did you guys feel like game one was one that you controlled and sort of is the approach the same going into game two, or would you say it's a little different?
Yeah, I think it is a similar approach. I think we can score better than them in the half court. Definitely. They bring a lot of pressure. So as long as we can control the ball, limit turnovers, then that'll really help. Just because when it comes down to it, I think we're a better team. So the more that we can use that and not let them just play fast and get out of it, then I think it'll be better for us.
Moses Moody joining us on 95.7 The Game. One of the things the Rockets did on Sunday, Moses, was they went with Adams and Şengün together for a little bit. And, you know, over the years, the Warriors have faced big front lines and they're typically undersized. When a team goes to two big men like that, does it change any of your defensive philosophy or any of your defensive rules?
Yeah, something you got to adjust to depends on the defense they're in. Sometimes they might go in zone with that situation, so that obviously changes the offense. But it also, the matchups are different. You know, now the big is guarding a different person, so that might be what you want to bring into action. It's just a different look.
Moses, defensively, it felt like you guys were kind of shifting between a lot of different coverages, you know, whether it's box and one, obviously playing man. You know, how much focus and attention to detail does that demand from you, especially as someone who's primarily picking up, you know, kind of the trigger man to it all offensively for the other team? You know, how much attention to detail are you guys paying, and how much work is done before the game, whether it's in the film room or in shoot around from that point of view?
Yeah, it is a lot to pay attention to. It's a lot to remember and focus on, but at the end of the day, you can't overcomplicate things and confuse yourself. I forget that it's basketball at the end of the day. So coverage break down, no matter what the situation is. Keep your man from scoring. Help keep your teammates from just scoring. It's as simple as you can make it. So it's definitely complicated trying to remember everything, but you should simplify it as much as you can.
Is it accurate to say that in that second half over a stretch of period that you switch defenses a bunch, maybe every possession or every other possession, something like that, or you were playing the same defense only disguising it kind of?
We do different things, different looks. You know, I don't want to give too much into the game plan.
but you switch. I mean, you changed a lot, possession to possession. I can say it for you.
Yeah, we did different things. There, you know, different looks throughout the game.
I got you.
I don't know necessarily how frequently it was, but
Hey, do you ever get sick of watching Steph Curry make the kind of shots that he made? I mean, He was the shot he made from the corner on Green. I mean, do you guys, when you get into the locker room, do you talk about some of those shots and how absolutely crazy they are?
It's sad to say, it's really become kind of normal around here to see it so much. And it's still amazing. The same thing I've been watching since I was in middle school. But, you know, in the heat of the game, in the midst of it, you just happy you win those games, and then you can unpack it a little bit later.
Gotcha.
What's been the key for you, Moses, to maintain the sort of confidence that I thought you displayed in game one, where the shots aren't going down for you. You hadn't hit one until those last two, arguably the biggest shots, perhaps, you know, at that point in the game of the game. How do you stay ready and sort of keep yourself present while knowing that, you know, it hasn't been going your way offensively, but you still need to hit those very important shots?
I think in game one, I didn't get a lot of shots early on, so it wasn't the shots wasn't falling. I just, a lot of opportunities wasn't necessarily there as much. But, with that being the case, then a shot is a shot.
You know, it's no difference between...
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm feeling like shots of fall. That's emotional. If you feel like shots are falling or not, but I didn't feel like they weren't.
Moses, let me ask you this. You obviously won game one on the road, and now you play game two tomorrow. These feel like the hardest games for a team like you guys to win. After you got one already, how do you stay basically as urgent as you played on Sunday, even though it's a game two and even though you have a 1-0 cushion?
I feel like dog shit.
I think it's understanding the moment and not being a front runner, not feeling like you won the playoffs just because you won the first game. And then when you lose a game, not feeling like you lost the playoffs because you lost one game. But it's going to be a dogfight. Every game, me and a lot, their back is against the wall. They feel like they got to come out and get a hard-fought win. So, I think.
What's going on back there? Who's using the foul language?
I'm messing with my team, babe.
we know who it was. We recognize the voice. Yeah.
Moses, look, obviously this is the most important time of the year. You've been in the playoffs before. You've been a part of a championship run before. You know, how much do Curry and Draymond, and now with the addition of someone like Jimmy Butler, just give you guys the confidence that in the moments that matter, that you guys have an advantage? You know, you said earlier that you feel like you're the better team. Is it because of the leadership of those three players and the level of basketball that you've been able to display really over the last couple of months since Butler's gotten here?
Yeah, I think that's the team that we have, the team that we are. That's what gives me the confidence to say that. It's the team that I've seen us beat in tough situations and tough games.
Hey, Moses, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in the future.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
All right, that's Moses Moody, Golden State Warrior.
What do you think goes behind him?
I don't know.
It seems like there's a lot of energy emanating from
him. He got a little distracted late.
The Warriors
locker
room.
Don't do that tomorrow, Moses.
Well, he didn't do it in game one. You know, he said it wasn't that the shots weren't falling, just didn't get a lot of looks. I mean, he really is. I know that he's, 22, 23, but in many ways, he's kind of their most even-keel player. I mean, seriously, like, Curry can be demonstrative. Butler, now that we're seeing him in playoff positions, he's screaming, and Draymond is who Draymond is. Pods is even kind of an expressive player. Like, Moody's the guy that I kind of look to the most to keep the most even-keel demeanor.
Yeah, I think when he came out of Arkansas after playing 1 year, he had something, a maturity about him that was noticeable from most players his age. And then it's now I look back and say, well, it's a good thing, because over the 4 years that he's been here, he's had his ups, he's had his downs, he's had his ins, he's had his outs. He's had his moments where maybe he should have been playing a little bit more. And I don't think he's where he is right now without the maturity that he had even before he got here. And that's not easy for a lot of players. And I remember when he came out, you know, he was a big boy at Arkansas and he played a lot of minutes and he came to the NBA and he wasn't playing. And he was like, that's fine. I want to be playing in the best league and I want to figure out where I'm at and how to play on this team. And he never regretted coming out after 1 year, even though the first year or two, you know, he didn't play a lot.
I mean, he's an exhibit. He's exhibit A of a player that's developed the work you don't see behind the scenes. Like, just because you're not playing, just because we don't get to see your improvements night to night, because let's face it, there are guys in front of you. First, it was, you know, maybe it was Wiggins. And then it was other guys coming in before him that Kerr felt like he could win with after they won a championship. Moses had to do a lot of stuff that we did not see. And I thought it was interesting him talking to him about, you know, like the defensive stance and some of the things that he's noticed and ways that he can improve without actually having to play. Like the application is now, and it's really fun seeing his work come full circle.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Just talked to Moses Moody. You want to jump in and talk about what a mature young guy he is? Anything in the interview strike you? But we'll be talking more about game two on the other side. And the Golden State Warriors look to go up 2-0 against the Houston Rockets tomorrow night, 6:30, all right here on 95.7. The game, what's coming up on the game, is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.